First of all, I'd like to have a recount. Amen. I appreciate this church. It really takes a lot of faith. Amen. Gotta turn this on. It takes a lot of faith to support a missionary that you never met. And you know, a lot of pastors, they wouldn't even think about sending a missionary some money if he had never met the missionary. And I just appreciate this church. Appreciate you getting excited about the work in Greenland, and you know, getting to know us through the videos, you know, and supporting us without ever meeting us until now. Amen. Thank you. And you sent love gifts to us several times since we've been, you know, in the last year. You supported us faithfully. It's hard to comprehend a church doing that. And I just appreciate it. And just seeing these children up here singing just almost brings tears to my eyes, you know, hearing them sing about Jesus loves the Eskimos. Amen. I just thank you. Children, you know, stay at it. Amen. Stay at it. And, you know, you're so precious now. You're so young. And you've got a whole life ahead of you that God wants to use. And there's a lot of potential there. Amen. Children, I brought you some money. Some Danish money. So after the service, we'll give you some Danish money, and also I brought some pencils from pencils. It's our church logo in Greenland, and the pencils glow in the dark. I'm going to do it after church. Okay, after church, you help me. He doesn't understand English. Okay, but our church logo is Elus dat skinner på mørkste. It simply says, a light that shineth in a dark place. And these pencils glow in the dark. So it's a pretty cool pencil because we live in Greenland. And for 3 months out of the year, there is no sun at all. The sun sets and we don't see it again. In our town, we don't see it again for 2 months. And of course, the further north you go, the longer it's darker. And every January 13th is when the sun comes back to our town. And it's a big celebration. Just imagine living without the sun, you know, for 2 months. It plays on your mind, amen. You never want to get up and do anything. You just want to sleep all day. And but now we have 24 hours of sunlight that starts in May and goes till August. And but we truly are a light that shineth in a dark place. And please continue to pray for us, amen. Well, I was thinking the first thing we ought to do is maybe give you opportunity to ask some questions about Greenland. You've seen the video. Any questions that I can try to answer? Yes.
During the 2 months of darkness, you just want to sleep. Now, during the 3 months of the sunlight, you just want to keep going.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to fall asleep because the sun's shining, and you don't go to bed till after midnight and get up early in the morning. Yeah, you just want to keep going. So it's great. We catch up for all the sleep, you know. Any other questions? Well, I got brought my dog whip here. This is made of seal skin, dry seal skin. And in Greenland, they have dog teams. You may remember from the video. And so they make these dog whips, and it's amazing to watch the mushers. The dogs listen to them. You know, we've almost been run over a few times, but the musher takes that whip out, and he says something. He cracks the whip, and the dogs immediately turn to the right or to the left. Pretty amazing. But I brought it here tonight to keep the children in line. Amen. My children. Any questions? Yes.
Is there any other missionaries working over in the Greenlanders? And is there any
Well, we are the first Baptist missionaries there. But there has been another missionary family that has moved there last year. And we've actually been talking, and they're Baptist, and they want to come up and assist us in the ministry. Which would be really good to have. We work together as a team. We can really encourage each other, and it's going to be great. So you pray for them. They're trying to get their paperwork renewed and accepted by the government so they can move up in our town. The national or the state church is Lutheran. It's from the Danish. It's from Denmark, and they teach that children are saved through infant baptism, and that they call that being born again. And then there's the Jehovah Witnesses, small group, but they're there. And then the Mormons are there now, and the Charismatics, a lot of Charismatic churches. They're called the Free Church.
What about population?
There's 60,000 people in all of Greenland, and in our town there's 5,000 people. It's the third largest town in Greenland. Yes. Well, we've been back for a week, so maybe, I don't know. No, but we have sun right now, 24 hours of sunlight in Greenland, so it's shining. At midnight, the sun's shining. 2 in the morning, the sun's shining. At noon, the sun's shining all the time. And it gets hot. When we left, it was 45 degrees, and we were burning up. So... So any other questions? Yes.
What do you use when there's no darkness to work? What do you use to be light?
Well, we have electricity. Amen. We're modern now in Greenland. We've come a long way. Amen. But we have electricity. But there's usually even in the darkest day there's about 2 to 3 hours of like a dusk. So you have the moon and you have the stars and it's like a little dusk. So you can get around still and see. Yeah. Yes. No malls, no McDonald's. We just have in our town. We're a big town, 5,000 people, so we have little shops there. We can go and buy stuff. Yeah. Yes. Not now. Not from May to August. There's no dark. We're 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Yes?
Do you guys actually hunt for your food except for eating whale blubber?
Well, we mostly go to the store and buy our food, and we have friends who give us fish and other kinds of meat. But a lot of people do hunt for their food and fish for their food. So, good question. Yes? Well, we've made one. It was... Not a real good igloo, but we've made them for fun. But the Greenlanders, the native people, they can build one. They say within 2 hours. And if you ever played in the snow, that's pretty amazing to build an igloo in 2 hours. But they'll build them when they're out hunting for a long time, or they're going dog sledging for way out into the country. They'll make those. So, yes. Well, yeah, if you get enough people in there, yes, it gets warm. And they have all their skins, their seal skins. And so yes, back there. We've seen right around 60, the warmest, and we've seen minus 40, coldest. And that's cold. Amen. But I want to just first of all invite anyone who ever wants to visit us in Greenland. You're more than welcome to visit us. You just have to buy the plane ticket. That's the most expensive part, probably $2,500 for a one round trip ticket. But we'll put you up and we'll feed you whale and seal, whatever you want, all the delicacies. Amen. Now, just last week, I went to a kaffemik. In Greenland, they call a kaffemik a party. When you have a party, they celebrate everything, birthday parties, anniversaries, anything they can celebrate. First day of school, they have a party, and they invite you over. And I got invited to one last week, and this is the first one that I went to where I never knew they did this. But he told me this was the daytime party, so this was all raw food. Nothing was cooked. And usually when we go, I can find one or two things that are cooked. So that was hard, amen. But where God leads me, I will follow, and what He feeds me, I will swallow. And I was able to get it down, amen. But, we're getting used to the food. We actually, now when we go to one of these parties, we look for the cooked seal and whale. We actually have learned to enjoy that. The alternative is not good. but they like raw blubber. They eat it all, and they don't get sick from it. So, any other questions? And then, yes. Sometimes we can get frozen vegetables in the stores. Of course, they come in from Denmark, and then there's some canned vegetables. During the winter, it's hard sometimes to buy those. Our kids, they don't eat vegetables, unfortunately. They just We told them when we got back to the U.S. we were going to get some fresh vegetables for them and try to get them, you know, to like vegetables. But over there, usually what we can get is not really in good shape. It doesn't taste good. The fruits are not good at all. But we're doing good. Amen. God kept us healthy. Amen. Yes. We see a lot of seals and whales. We've never seen a polar bear yet, but we've had a polar bear come into our town one time. So, yeah. Yes. Plane ride?
Yeah.
It's not really long. It's just that you can't get a direct flight. So we've from our town we fly about 3.5 hours from Greenland to Iceland. And then it's about 5.5 hours from Iceland to America. Now, this is during the summer. During the winter, you can't fly to Iceland. You have to fly all the way to Denmark. So you got to fly over Iceland, go all the way to Denmark, and then come back and fly over Greenland and go to the U.S. And that's a 9-hour flight just from Denmark to the U.S. So, yes?
Is there a difference in sunlight and darkness? Is there a food difference?
A what difference?
Well,
in this grocery store, it's hard to get some fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. Milk runs out sometimes. Eggs run out. But there's enough for us to eat, amen? We're not starving. Yes? We have big parkas. Big parkas with the big hood and the fur on it. So the people there, they use seal skin, polar bear pants, all kinds of stuff to stay warm. So, there's a lot of questions. Pastor, how many more should I answer, or should I? How about 3 more questions, and then you can ask me as many as you want after I get the pie in my face, okay? Yes. In Iceland, it's much milder. It's beautiful, beautiful place, Iceland. So, we lived there for 2 years. Yes.
Are there any cows over there?
In Greenland? Actually, there are a couple cows in the South Greenland. And then they also have sheep. They do a lot of sheep farming. And a few years ago, I read that they in South Greenland, they used a greenhouse to grow bananas, and only one banana turned out. So in order to make a profit, they had to sell that banana for like $500. So they gave up on that. One more question, yes. Yeah, we're starting one right now. We have people that come every week, and they listen to the preaching. We sing. We have a church. Amen. Good question. You didn't ask a question. Go ahead. Do you want to ask one?
Do you have chickens? No
chickens. All the eggs come from Denmark. About $5 for 10 eggs in Greenland. So they don't eat scrambled eggs and do that. So they eat a soft boiled egg for breakfast. With some bread and cheese. So all right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. So again, I just thank you for having us be part of your vacation, your Bible school. That was awesome opportunity for us. You know, we first didn't know what to do. You know, Pastor Gilbert asked us to make some videos, and I was thinking, you know, what can we do? And then it was late. It was about midnight the first night. And, you know, you get how people get crazy at midnight, you know. So we started making videos. And amen. Glad you liked it. Acts chapter 28. And verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita." And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. I want to talk to you tonight about an unreached people. Unreached people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for their dedication to Jesus Christ. Lord, we're just so thankful for these children. We ask you, Lord, just to put your hedge of protection about them. Lord, protect them. And Lord, we just pray for anyone's salvation here, Lord. Anyone who has not been saved, we pray, Lord, that today they would get saved. And Lord, we just ask you to bless your word. And we just thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I need to give you a little introduction here in Acts, for Acts 28. Now, if you were to turn back to Acts chapter 20, you would we would read about Paul, and Paul knows that he was he knew that he was nearing the end of his ministry, the end of his life, and he gathered up the pastors that were in Ephesus, and he gave them this, his charge, his famous charge, and he told them that he was going away, he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he told them that he would never see their faces again, and he gave them his farewell, and of course the people they wept. They were sad to hear that. And then the Apostle Paul went on to the city of Caesarea. And these were places that Paul went and started churches. And now he's going and he's saying goodbye to them. And in Caesarea, he's told the church the same thing. And while he was there, the prophet Agabus came down. And he took Paul's girdle and he tied his hands and his feet. And he said, "The man that owns this girdle is going to be bound and it's going to be taken by the Gentiles." And of course, the Apostle Paul already knew that. Amen. He had a close connection with the Holy Spirit. But when the people in that church heard that, they began to weep and cry, and they begged the Apostle Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You know, the Apostle Paul knew God's will, didn't he? And they were trying to talk him out of God's will. And I want to tell you, young people and everyone in here, when you know God's will, don't waver. Amen. When you know what God wants you to do, do it. Don't let anyone talk you out of God's will. That's the best place to be. A lot of people say it's the safest place to be. Amen? But we know that in God's will, sometimes God takes you through some hard times, doesn't he? But Paul would not let anyone talk him out of God's will. And once the people realized that Paul wouldn't budge, they told him, they said, let the will of the Lord be done. And Paul went on to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, the Jews stirred up trouble. And the Jews did not like the Apostle Paul, did they? And they were getting ready to kill him, but the Roman soldiers stepped in and saved Paul's life. And finally, Paul appealed to Caesar. See, Paul was a Roman citizen, and he had some special privileges. And he appealed to Caesar. That meant he had the opportunity to stand before Caesar, and Caesar would hear his case. And then we come to Acts chapter 27, and Paul finally is put on a ship and with 276 other prisoners, and he is on his way to Rome. And when they first left, they docked in one city, and they were getting ready to further their trip. The Apostle Paul told the captain, he told those on board, he said, "You better not sail, you better just dock here for the winter." And of course, the captain, you know, he thought he knew better than the man of God. And he said, "No, we have to sail further. We have to go further before winter comes in." And of course, once they started sailing, storm came. And the Bible says that they were in a storm for 3 days. And at the third day, all the men on board, they realized they were going to die. And look at verse number 21. Paul had been quiet up to now, and here's what he says. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss.'" Don't you hate it when the man of God tells you, "I told you so"? Don't you hate when your parents tell you, "I told you so"? You know what? Sometimes it's easier just to listen. Amen. Sometimes it's just easier to listen to the man of God. You know, God's given the man of God special wisdom. Amen. I mean, the man of God is supposed to be close to God, amen? He's supposed to come up here and open the Word of God and preach. And so he has special insight, amen? But look at verse 22. Paul says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before who? Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God,'" amen, "'that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a" what? "A certain island." Paul was getting ready to appear before the most powerful man in the world, Caesar. Caesar thought he was a god, right? He thought he was a god. Many people thought Caesar was a god. And Paul was going to stand before the most powerful man in the world. He was going to go to the greatest city in the world at that time, the city of Rome. But before he was going to do that, God had a plan, didn't he? God said, you're going to stop at a certain island. You're going to stop at an unreached people group. Amen? See, Paul didn't even know about these people. The world didn't even know about these people. They were tucked away on this island. But God knew about these people. Amen? God knows each and every one of us. Amen? He knows the people that are in the remotest part of the world, in the remotest part of the earth. He knows them. He loves them. He knows them by name. And he even knows you by name, all you children here, the ones that have been coming out the Bible school. He knows everything about you. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. Amen? He knows everything about you, and God loves you. And God wants you to get saved. And aren't you glad for this church here to have this ministry to you children and to teach you these songs and teach you the Word of God? Amen. What opportunity you have here in America. Amen. But God had a plan. And you know what? God had to shipwreck these people in order for His plan to be done. And the Bible says it was 14 days that they were at sea. You know, the third day, God said, you're going to be okay. But they still had to go through the storm another 11 days. How many of you have been through some storms? Amen? God has a reason for it. We don't always understand it, but God has a reason. And God always brings us through. Amen? And God brought the Apostle Paul and everyone on board, all 276 people, he brought them safely on shore. Look at verse 43. I'll just tell you what happened here. But the boat began to break apart, and the soldiers, they were going to kill the prisoners. And the centurion said, no, don't kill the prisoners. None of them will escape. The Apostle Paul already told us that. And he said, those that can swim, go and swim. And those that can't swim, just wait for the ship to break up and grab onto those boards, amen, and float safely to shore. And then we come to verse 1 of chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. So here they are. They're in an unfamiliar area, aren't they? And you know what? The Apostle Paul is no longer in his comfort zone. Of course, the Apostle Paul lived his whole life out of his comfort zone, amen? But the Apostle Paul, now he's wet. The Bible says they were cold. It was raining. They'd just been shipwrecked. And here they are, surrounded by a bunch of barbarians, the Bible says, amen? When's the last time you've been out of your comfort zone? Whenever we determine to do something for God, it's going to get uncomfortable at times. And if you haven't been uncomfortable for a long, long time, then I question if you're doing anything for God. Amen? It's uncomfortable to serve God sometimes. We've got to get out of that comfort zone. I mean, we're so relaxed here in America, aren't we? We've got so many things that we take for granted. But we need to get out of that comfort zone, and we need to see the need out there. And there's a great need, even in this country. Amen? But look at verse 2. It says, and the barbarous people. And verse 4, it says, and when the barbarians. So here, the Bible calls them barbarians. And barbarians are people that, they weren't Jew, they weren't Gentile, they weren't Greek, they weren't Roman. They were people that didn't know the culture. They didn't know the Greek and the Roman culture. They didn't know the common language. They were unwise, uneducated. Some may say they're simple people. They were barbarians, weren't they? Now, some people say, well, God's given up the heathens. He's given up the barbarians. God hasn't given up the barbarians. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God cares about every single soul? He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, look at Romans 1 and verse 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Amen? Both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do we still believe that? Do we still believe the gospel is the power of God? That it saves souls? Amen. It does. Some say, well, the barbarians, no, they do a lot of wicked things. They're lost people, amen. Lost people do a lot of wicked things. What did we do before we were saved? Amen. Let's start investigating your life. We got a lot of pious Christians today. Well, I didn't do that before I was saved, you know. Or that was a long time ago. God saved you, amen. You had to see yourself as a sinner, and you had to see yourself as a filthy, rotten sinner in order to be saved. But Jesus Christ took you in anyway, amen. He took us in, even though we were filthy, even though we were a mess. He cleaned us up, amen. He saved us, gave us a new life, amen. Aren't you glad for your new life, amen? Aren't you glad you don't live like that anymore? Just think about people in the world, barbarians who are living that way. God hasn't given them up, though. Do you know that when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he went to a city called Capernaum. And when he was there, they rejected Jesus. They rejected his miracles, his teaching, his preaching. And Jesus told them, he said, if I would have done these works in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, they would still be around today. Let that soak in for a minute. You can't get any more evil than Sodom and Gomorrah. But Capernaum rejected Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, judgment day is going to be greater for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. God hasn't given anyone up today. If you're still breathing, God hasn't given you up. You could still be saved, amen? God wants to save you. Don't reject Jesus Christ. That's the way you'll be sent to hell, is by rejecting Jesus Christ. But the barbarians still have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, how are they going to hear the gospel? Somebody has to tell them, don't they? Somebody has to go. Somebody has to care. And God told the church to take the gospel to every creature. So that's your job. It's my job. Amen. We've got to get the gospel out there. Look at Colossians chapter 3, or just listen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Here's a person that's saved. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Today, you know, we have African Americans, and we have, you know, all these titles, Asian American, Hispanic American, but you know, in God's family, there's no such thing as a saved American. There's no such thing as a saved Greenlander. Someone doesn't come in and say, hey, I'm a barbarian. I'm a saved barbarian. No. We're Christians, amen? We are Christians. We're all part of the family of God, amen? God has no prejudice. There is no respect of persons with God. You say, well, I'm an American. And God has blessed our nation. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything about salvation. You've got to make a decision for yourself to be saved, amen? And, you know, we say, well, I'm an American. You know? I got special privileges. You know, I think we do have special privileges. I think our special privilege from God, the reason he's blessed us so much, is so we can spread the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen? Don't take it for granted. This country is changing, isn't it? And it's not going to be long where our country will be full of barbarians and heathens. Some say it's already full of barbarians and heathens. And we need to take the gospel to them. You know, it's funny how churches, we send missionaries, we send them way across the world, and it's their job to go and preach the gospel to people who have never heard, and we expect them to, you know, to get in there and rub shoulders with the lost people, yet we sit in our pews and we wait for the lost to come to us. We need to go out and reach them, don't we? There's people in this area that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Amen? But God has not given the barbarians up, has he? And we can continue reading in Acts chapter 28. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So here I see the missionary. He's, you know, he's cold, he's tired, he's wet, it's raining. But he has work to do, doesn't he? You know, I'm going to tell you, missionaries aren't lazy people, no matter what you hear, amen? A missionary that's lazy is not going to make it. So you don't have to worry about your support. He's not going to make it. He's going to be very short on the field. A missionary, when he gets to the field, he's got to work or he's going to starve. He's going to die. There's work to be done, amen? And here's the Apostle Paul putting wood on the fire, amen? And while he's putting wood on the fire, the Bible says a viper comes out, a poisonous snake comes out and fastens on his hand. How many like snakes? How many of you children are like, oh, I hate snakes. There's no snakes in Greenland. There's no spider. Well, tiny, tiny little spiders we've seen. I praise God for that. Amen. I have a friend in Honduras who sends pictures of these big spiders, and I praise God that he called me to Greenland. Amen. But here is a viper. It comes out of the fire and fastens on Paul's hand. And, you know, I think about a Christian, you know, or even a missionary, a preacher, whoever, who a saved person that wants to do God's will, as soon as they get serious, who's going to be right there to attack them? The devil. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. You pray for us missionaries. It doesn't get easy sometimes. We're on the mission field all alone. When our prayers are what keeps us going, amen? Your prayers, praying for your missionary, amen? Don't stop. Then it says in verse number 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. You know, the native people, unreached people groups, are very simple-minded. But it's amazing. I mean, we think they're simple-minded because we're cultured, you know. We're from America, you know. They're really not simple-minded because they've survived thousands of years without us. Amen. Though they're simple-minded, they have an understanding of divine justice. See, here's a man that just was shipwrecked. He survives the shipwreck, and then he gets bit by a poisonous snake, and immediately the native people are looking at him and say, oh, he must be a murderer because he survived the shipwreck, but now, you know, justice is caught up to him. He's bitten by a poisonous snake, and now he's going to die. He's a murderer. He must be a murderer. And look at the next verse. So they think he's a murderer. Paul's a murderer, they say. And verse 5, and Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. This is how people think that have never heard about Jesus Christ, never heard about God. Do you understand? They went to thinking he was a murderer to thinking he was a god in a matter of minutes. These are the people that we are trying to reach in Greenland. We just can't get off the plane and say, hey, you're lost and going to hell. You better get saved. What are you talking about? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Who's Jesus Christ? They don't comprehend what you're talking about. You must be born again. Oh, I've already done that. I was sprinkled as a baby. They don't understand that. They're simple-minded. You know, we have to go and start from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, and we got to start teaching them the Word of God. And you know, we have people that have been coming out, and they're saved, amen? We've got a couple that's been coming out. And I started teaching them the simple truths of the Bible, and I told them about the inspiration of the Bible. How it's God's book. It's like God actually spoke it. He spoke it, and men wrote it down. They had never heard that before. Think about that. They never knew this was God's word. And then I gave them a Bible reading chart, and they've been reading the Bible ever since. Amen. I think they do a better job at reading the Bible every day than I do. They're following that chart. They're reading all those chapters every day. I mean, praise God. That's only the glory of God. Amen. And here we are, we take so much for granted. I think every American should have to live outside of America, and a Christian, a saved American, amen, a saved American, we should have to live outside of America for several years. And we would come back to this country, we would praise God for this country, we praise God for our church, we praise God for our pastor, we praise God for our mates, we praise God for our children, we would praise God, we would never miss a service again, amen, we would never miss our Bible reading again, we have a Bible in our own language that we can understand, amen, it's preserved, amen, it's a good Bible, amen. We take so much for granted. You know, Greenland actually has a Bible in their language, but the Danish state church, the Lutheran church, translated it. So there's a lot of words that are not in the Greenlandic language. So they have to use other words. And one of the words is like baptism. You know, there's no word in Greenlandic for baptism. So the Lutherans believe that it's sprinkling. So they just made up they just took the word that meant sprinkling in Greenlandic, and that's what the Bible says now. So they're reading, they'll be, you know, John the sprinkler, you know. And they that were gladly sprinkled. You know, that's what they read. Just imagine trying to untrain someone that their whole life. That's what they've heard. You know, there's verses missing in their Bible. No, we have to start from the beginning, Genesis. Start from there. You know, a couple times when I first got there, you know, I was just so gung-ho. I just wanted to, you know, get into the Bible and just start teaching them, and you know, and have this hour-long sermon. Amen. They are lost the whole time. And I realized I had to keep it simple. Amen. And I just started keeping it simple. You know, when I first started, I'd be like, you know Moses? He'd be like, who's he? You know Noah? Who's he? And then my message is messed up. Because then I'd have to spend another hour trying to tell him who Noah and Moses was. Amen. So we've been going from the beginning and going through it. Amen. And that's exciting, actually. That's so exciting to see people that are eager to hear the Word of God. And not everybody's like that, of course. You know, I wish everybody in the whole town was like that. But they're lost in sin. And we're trying to reach them. And man, we have the cure for all their illnesses, you know. Today, we call everything a sickness, even in Greenland. It just troubles us. I mean, if I told you some of the things these people do, I mean, you might say God has given them up, but God hasn't given them up. They don't know any better. They never heard the truth. And we have the truth now, amen? Unreached people group. And, you know, we could go on and on, but, you know, the children are doing good here, so I'm just going to finish up here. But you know what? There's unreached people on the other side of the world. And, you know, there's unreached people right here in Maryland. We've got to reach them. We want to see this world turned around. You know, we all get all worked about politics, you know, and like I said, I've lived outside of America, so I see socialism, you know, and in Greenland, I can't fly an American flag. I have to ask permission. You're only allowed to fly one of the European Union flags, you know, and then I come back to America and people are burning the flag, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? You know, and in Greenland, they don't care what I think, I'm a foreigner, amen? They'll fly the Greenland flag, and I'll fly the Greenland flag too, amen? I'm in their country now. But we take so much for granted, don't we? Amen? We take so much for granted. But there's unreached people that need to be reached. And we need to reach them. Amen? Pastor Gilbert, you come up here.